Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting from Atlanta, Georgia, this is The Bright Side with Technisha.
A daily broadcast on real-life issues that will keep you motivated.
And now, here's your host, Technisha.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Bright Side with Technisha. And today is May the 4th, 2014. And today is another wonderful sunny day in Atlanta, Georgia today. And for the next several days, all the temperatures will be around in the mid-80s. So that's a good thing. We can put back on our shorts and show our toes today. But on the line, anyhow, before I get into that, did anybody hear about the bad blood between the Clippers and the Warriors? Said they started arguing before the game, and they started arguing at the end of the game. This is just too much. First, we got Sterling, who's been sued because of his racist remarks. I mean, this is just too much. I mean, we're grown, and we have to do this. And Jeremiah Rivers, the son of the Clippers coach, Doc Rivers, said on Twitter that Warrior center Maurice Spice barged into the Clippers locker room, but that was not confirmed, and he later deleted the tweet. And another source said Davis and Spice yelled at each other, with Spice having to be held back. They said no punches were thrown, but a lot of screaming took place, and the Los Angeles Police Department and game security calmed the situation, and that's what another source said. So, I mean, this is just getting ridiculous, but if you have any comments about it, do please post on my Facebook fan page, and also you can tweet me at TDay60. But anyhow, let's get into our guest, which is Chris Sprague. He is, did I say that correctly, Chris?
So it's a long A, Technisha, but that's okay. It's Chris Sprague.
Okay, so Chris Sprague, he is an international transformation and empowerment ambassador. In his latest best-selling book, The Secret Blueprint to More, You Fill in the Blank, which shows people how to understand the hidden barriers that are holding them back. And Chris is also a thought leader and accomplished professional speaker, delivering a message of transformation and hope for the future. And he speaks to audiences from 10 to over 10,000 and empowers people to transform their future by transforming their thoughts using an open, honest, straightforward approach to change. So, Chris, welcome. I'm so glad you're on the show today.
Oh, thank you very much, Technisha. It's an honor and a privilege to be on your show, and I look forward to spending the next hour with you and your listeners, and ready to have some fun today.
Right. Let's get this party started. I love to have fun. Now, that's me. I like to joke around and play. Yes, that's definitely me. But first, Chris, I would like people to get to know you better. So give us a brief overview of your life's journey.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I'm glad you said brief because you know, I could be here all day given my life's journey. I mean, I've had it's been an interesting life, and it's been challenging than others. I've had a more challenging life than others, and yet probably a simpler and better life than others. So I can't overly complain. But, you know, I started off my life as an actor. And you know, from the time I was 5 years old, I was acting. I was entertaining. I was, you know, I just wanted to make people, I wanted to bring enjoyment to people's lives. And I wanted to share with them what I was learning. So I've always been an avid learner. And it's interesting because, you know, as I grew up, I continued to act, and when I left high school, you know, I shouldn't say when I left high school, it has a bad connotation. So when I graduated high school, I was still entertaining, and that's what I thought I was going to do the rest of my life. But, you know, sometimes, you know, the things that you think you're going to do, you know, either aren't in the plans right now or, you know, aren't what God designed you to do, or at least at that moment. Maybe he has a different, you know, different plan. I'm not sure if that was what it was for me, but what I can tell you is this. Acting and DJing and everything didn't pay awful well in the 80s, so I decided I needed another career that would actually pay a little bit better. And by the mid-90s, I had jumped into information technology. And most people say, now, wait a minute, you spent all your life acting. How do you go from acting and being on the stage to being in IT? And it wasn't until I'd say a couple of weeks ago when I was on another radio show that I really made the connection that IT and acting are the same in one very central way. They can give you instant gratification. In other words, when I'm creating something, when I'm creating something with technology, in fact, I still run a technology company that focuses on authors, coaches, and public speakers and creates websites for them. And I started that company by doing everything myself, before I started to build it, because it's one of the things I like to do. It's one of my God-given gifts. It's not my passion. It's not what I'm wired to do, but provides me with the same instant gratification that standing on the stage in front of thousands and thousands of people and watching them really be involved in the message and really, get taken in and get drawn in and interact with you. And you watch the flow of the energy go back and forth. So it's, at that core level, it's the same. And that's one of the ways that I'm wired, and it's one of the things I teach people now is to understand how they're wired. And before we get on to your next question, I'm slowing down here for a second because the piece of my story, my background that I haven't told your listeners so far, and one of the reasons I reached out to you and wanted to be on your show is because in between the time I was an actor and in between the time and then into information technology, and in between that and the time you see me today, I've gone through some major changes in my life, some of which have included losing everything, including losing my wife, more money than most people I know will ever make in their life, friends, houses, the whole nine yards. So it's not been a journey without pain. But as I tell everybody I coach and work with, and as I tell people on the stage, even if you get to live to your wiring and what you were born to do, what your DNA tells you to do for even one day, and that can change even one person's life, then I believe you've had a successful life. So I'm now out using the challenges and everything I've been through in order to inspire, transform, and empower other people.
Why? I do understand that. So what do you think, Chris, makes people, what wires people to act like they do?
Yeah, it's interesting. I believe, and through not only my beliefs but my research and through the clients I've worked with, what I've uncovered is that people are all wired for success. Now, let me slow down for a second and say success, you define what success is. And success is defined differently for each person. So when I talk about success, I'm not necessarily talking about being an NBA player or being rich or being world famous. We're all wired for success. We're all wired to live a happy life, and it's in our DNA. It's what I call the zero point or the point zero. In other words, when people start talking about how to live their life, they always want to focus on passion. They want to focus on purpose. They want to focus on putting a plan together. They want to focus on their sweet spot. They want to focus on being anything they can be. And what I'm here to tell you is if you focus on all that stuff before you focus on your zero point or your point zero, what your DNA, what you're wired to do, what's going to make you a success, then you're bound for failure because you will strive your entire life jumping from opportunity to opportunity and not really figuring out what is going to fill all of your buckets, your heart, your mind, your body, your soul, your physical, your mental, your emotional, and your financial bucket. So there's a thing inside all of us that is our code of living. It's what we were wired to do. It's what we were born to do. I struggled for many years to find it within myself, and that's the other reason I'm so passionate in helping other people find it in themselves today. Because once you find it, the sky is the limit within that wiring. And let me say one thing about within that wiring real quick before we get to your next question. Most of the pundits, most of the other big guys in my area, like Tony Robbins, are going to tell you can be whatever you want to be. And I'm here to tell you today that's true to a point, but if you go out and try to be whatever you want to be before you find out how you're wired, you're putting too much pressure on yourself. You're going to end up actually stunting your growth versus expanding it. And once you get the fact that understanding your wiring isn't the limiting factor, but it's the freeing factor, then the sky's the limit. And just live within that wiring. Let me give you a real, real quick example before you ask your next question. If you're 95 years old and your goal is to be an astronaut because you believe whatever you want, you believe you can be whatever you want to be, I'm here to tell you it's probably not going to happen. But if you're 20 years old and you're wired to be an astronaut, then it doesn't matter where you came from. You know, it doesn't matter what race, color, creed, it doesn't matter who you are, what you are. If that's what you're wired to do, you're going to go and be the success that you were born to be, just like Oprah. Oprah might not have grown up in the greatest environment, but she was wired to do what she's doing today, and she's a huge success.
Right. And I think it's all about how you want to take your life and use it to the best of your ability instead of standing back, because Oprah could have did that any time day of her life and said, oh, well, this don't happen to me, so I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to sit here and soak in my misery like most people do. They'll fall, oh, well, my mother did this. Okay, your parents did this, so what? Move on. You're grown now. It's time. You can't keep living on the past. You can't move forward.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, you know, while my story isn't as big as Oprah yet, you know, I have a similar story. You know, my parents were not very supportive. They were as supportive as parents could be of my acting pursuits, but they would have rather seen me do other things. You know, my father naturally wanted to see me in sports. I was lucky enough to be a decent bowler. In fact, I bowled on television before I had a number of injuries. One of my goals was going to be to be a professional bowler. And you know, they were very supportive of that. He was always supportive of sports. My mother was supportive in the way she could be, but they were never overly supportive of my acting. They didn't stop me, but they weren't out there. It's not like one of these dance moms where they were taking me to acting classes, you know, 300 miles away on a weekly basis. And in fact, when I left high school, they gave me an ultimatum. When I graduated, they gave me an ultimatum. They would pay for me to go to one college, or if I wanted to go to a second college, I had to pay for it myself. And I chose to go to the second college, or at least I chose that was where I wanted to go over the first college, and I ended up not going to either. And for the longest time, I said, look, you know, you guys stop me. You know, I let that thing stop me. I said, you guys stop me from living my dream. And what I realize now is it might be 20 years later, but, you know, I've got to do what I've got to do to live my dream and live to how I'm wired, because if I don't, then there's people I could be affecting that I won't be affecting. There's people's lives I could be changing that I won't. And that's the sin of it. I mean, if you have the ability, and if you take nothing else from this call, if you take nothing else, your listeners, if you take nothing else from listening to my voice today, if you are meant and wired to help change people's lives, now not everybody is, but if you are one of the ones that are, and you don't find that and don't doing it, that is the greatest tragedy that will happen in your life, because you never know when you could have run across the next Oprah or the next Barack Obama or the next Doc Rivers, you know, or the next Allen Iverson or the next great potential player, person, athlete, somebody else who can change the world. And if you weren't prepared to help change their lives and they can't go off and change other people's lives, that's where the biggest sin and that's where the biggest tragedy comes in.
Right. I do. I agree with you all the way on that, Chris. Now, Chris, how did you even get into becoming an International Transformation and Empowerment Ambassador?
Yeah, great question, Technisha. It's interesting because what an ambassador does is, everybody listening to me probably knows. See, what an ambassador does is they go from one area to another area and spread goodwill and try to spread commonalities, or at least spread a message of hope that things can get better between two separate parties. Through my own personal transformation from getting laid off twice, and that was one of the things I left out earlier, is at the end of my IT career, I was laid off twice. I had achieved a great level of success as a senior director for a Fortune 500 company, so I was successful, but I got laid off twice. And when I tried to get back into the IT realm, it was a huge challenge. So towards the end of my job search, I decided to join John Maxwell as a founding partner in his coaching, teaching, and public speaking certification program. In fact, you mentioned Atlanta, Georgia. You're probably fairly close to where John, you know, has just new leadership center down there in Georgia. And I joined him as a founding partner in his coaching, teaching, public speaking certification program. And mm-hmm. I thought my purpose in life was to go out and teach people leadership, because I'd been in leadership roles everywhere I'd been. I have a master's in leadership, and I really thought that that was what I was meant to do. What I didn't know that was what was in my DNA, what was in God's plan for me, was that I was supposed to go out and motivate, inspire, transform, and take this message that I'm taking to you and your audience now, in other words, how you're wired, uncovering these secret hidden blueprints, these secret hidden barriers, and finding your own secret blueprint to more. Taking this message out first. And then when I find leaders, teaching them leadership and teaching them John's great leadership, great leadership philosophies, and using his systems to augment my own systems, and then taking leaders to the next level. But I was completely going down the wrong path. I was going down this path of teach everybody leadership, 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 and it wasn't resonating with anybody because it wasn't what was in my DNA to teach people first. You know, here's the example, Technisha. When I started off, and I heard you say, right, thank you very much, when I heard, when I started this thing off, and I'm laughing because of this, I used to beg people to interview me. I would beg people to give me a stage, and it was like falling on deaf ears. Now I'm fortunate enough that I can pick and choose, and I can pick which radio shows I'm on, and I can pick things. That's why I'm so glad yours is on a Sunday, because most of them aren't. So when you said to me, "Can you be on Sunday?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm there." I know, it's like most of the ones I'm on are not. So I was glad to find out yours was today, and I could give you an hour of my time. But now it's just so different, and the message. The reason the message resonates better with people is because it's coming from my DNA, and it's a message that needs to be heard. You know, the message of leadership and we need better leadership, that's, I'll say, kind of beaten to death. I mean, everybody knows we need better leadership, and I say everybody because all you have to do is turn on the news. Turn on look at the politicians, look at everybody, and better leadership is necessary. What people are starting to finally realize is part of the reason we don't have better leadership and part of the reason their lives aren't further along, in their personal lives or business, and every other aspect is because they don't know how they're wired and they don't know this point zero or zero point where to start. So that's how it became, it's something that I love. Nothing pleases me more than when I'm standing on stage in front of thousands of people and I'm watching the energy flow back and forth and I'm watching the give and the take, and it's kind of like this rebound effect where the audience gives me energy and I give it right back, and it's like this wave of energy that's flowing. And then afterwards, somebody comes up to me and says, "Chris, you changed my life." "Well, Chris, I never realized that about myself. Chris, I've been going through the same thing as you have, and now I can move on." I mean, I start to cry when people tell me that. I mean, that's what touches me, and that's what drives and motivates me, and that's why I love, inspiring, transforming, and empowering people, and just being an ambassador for this message of hope.
Well, to me, you're an ambassador for the Lord, too, Chris, because I think, like you were saying, we all have our purpose down here. We don't sometimes know what that purpose is, and sometimes we refuse to want to listen to God on that purpose. For instance, I could probably say for myself, I want to be a journalist, and I'm still pursuing that goal. So I go about doing it through my radio show because it's still part of communications, but maybe it's not time for me to just yet be a news reporter. I don't know. I really don't. Maybe God has another job for me to do. And sometimes we don't. We have to actually pray about it. To ask God, what is my purpose down here? What do I need to do to serve you? Because we all here for a purpose. You're not here just to play around. These bodies are just vessels. That's all they are. You're just using them temporarily.
Yeah, exactly. You're so right, Technisha. And I'm glad you brought that up because I'll take a quick it fits in, but it might be a little bit of a digression. I tell you, everything is written in the Book of Life. God has set the plan in motion, many, many millennia ago. And the funny part is people sometimes come and ask me, say, "Well, how do you know there's a Book of Life?" And I say, because there's 8 billion people in this world. I'm telling you right now, God may be great, but he looked ahead and said, "I'm not going to have time to deal with 8 billion people when they really need me. So I'm going to go ahead and put this whole Book of Life and everything, set it in motion so that people know, and all they have to do is listen to it. And all they have to do is listen to what's in their DNA. I'm going to put inside in their DNA, and once they listen to it, I'll be there to help them. I'll be there to push them along. God helps those who help themselves. So you got to help yourself find what's in your DNA. You got to help yourself find what was put in you from day one, what was put in you from the day that you were born, what has gotten masked over in your life by things that everybody has done to you. And I will say everybody has done to you, because here's the problem, Technisha. When we're kids and we're young, people, things that happen to us, we don't have a filter. We can't stop how we react to them. And when people tamp on us, when people hold us down, when people put, I'll say, cement or tape over our masking, or over how we're, or I should say mask over how we're wired, we forget it. And sometimes it's a challenge to go back and find it. Like, let me give you a quick example. I told you I was acting since I was five. And since I was 5 or 6 years old, I was always sharing. I'd wake up in the morning and I'd watch the news. Yes, I was kind of a weird kid. You know, from the time I can remember, I was watching the stock ticker. In fact, I can tell you when the stock went to 2000, I was still in grade school at that point. But I would want to share that with people. Now, what I've learned over my life is I have to share things that are appropriate to the people. In other words, some people will care about, you know, maybe what's on the news, and other people won't. Like, I had a father who didn't really care about the stock ticker, but like sports and everything else. And for the longest time, I'd get up and he'd get up and I'd want to share everything going on. And he'd go, Chris, I love you, but can you do me a favor and just let me read the paper this morning? I mean, it wouldn't happen often, but I remember it happening. Or like my mom, I would come home from school and want to share the day. And she'd say, look, Chris, I love you, but look, can you wait till after my story is over? And I remember, folks who are listening, we didn't have DVRs back then, or VCRs back then. I mean, for those of you younger in the crowd, ask your folks or your grandparents what a VCR is or an 8-track tape is. Now I'm really dating myself here, Technisha.
But I remember those. Yeah. I was born in 1983, so I know about the 8-tracks, the record player, because my mother used to always use her record player. And today, my husband, he still has, like, well, we can even go far back. We still use the fatback TVs. That's what they call them. We have the video cassette. And I would ask him, because he's older than me, because I'm 31. My husband sits there, I'm like, see, you know, technology has advanced. And he'll look at me like, who cares? And at that time, I'm not, it still be working. I'm like, okay, you know, because I guess because I'm going with the way of the world now. You know, I left the stuff behind now. You know, we got Windows 8, everything, iPad, iPhone. So.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And here's the thing of it, you know, to kind of wrap my story up here a little bit, you know, I lost over time, I lost the fact that I was meant to share, because I got bullied a lot when I was a kid. And it was worse than some, better than others. But, you know, I mean, I was an overweight child, and I had to lose weight just to play football. And the interesting part was that after I lost the weight, the team gave me a willpower award at the end of the year. Now, mind you, the willpower award was a white T-shirt with a sticker on the back that said willpower. But nonetheless, I was very proud of that award. So I wore it in the school, and some bullies came up to me at lunch and said, willpower, huh? And I said, yeah, and I tried to explain to them the story of how I won the T-shirt, and they said, that's nice. And they went and they took and they ripped the sticker right off my back. Now, mind you, that is not as bad as, you know, I mean, I've been in fights over my life because of my attitude and everything else, and I've been bullied physically, mentally, and all the other stuff. So I've got much worse scenarios I could tell you. But the reason I tell you this particular one is what really set my life in motion for about, I don't know, 30 years. Because here's what it showed my young brain that didn't understand what was going on. It showed it that if I lost weight, it would be painful. And it showed it that if I was a success, it would be painful. And it also showed it that I needed to be a leader, and I needed to be out in front of everybody so that people wouldn't bully me. Well, the unfortunate part is that it led to me weighing over 300 pounds when I was an adult. It's led to me losing hundreds and thousands of pounds. I now live a fairly healthy lifestyle. I was able to lose weight all the way down to 150. My weight now fluctuates, and I'm still – thank you, thank you. I'm still every now and then a little bit of an emotional eater, and I understand that about myself, so I just kind of go with the ebb and the flow and realize there's going to be challenges I have in my life, but, you know, it is what it is. I've now embraced success. I mean, I can't tell you how many times that because I was scared of success, I avoided doing something that could have set my career in motion or my job in motion. But the biggest thing I've learned was that all the times I was struggling to force myself into leadership roles and all the times that I was struggling to force myself to teach people about leadership, and I didn't look at it as forcing. I just thought I was doing what I was meant to do. It was all because my true wiring had been masked over and covered up. You know, it's kind of like a comedian. I mean, most comedians are not going to be good politicians, and they don't try to be good politicians. In fact, if they do try to be a serious politician, it's like, well, wait a minute, we don't see you like that, and you're not made to do that. Most great comedians know where they're supposed to be. They do it, and people love them for it. Doesn't matter how big, how small, how heavy, how skinny, they love them. They love them for it. I mean, look at guys like Chris Farley, or Cedric the Entertainer is a great one. I mean, you know, Cedric, he's out being himself. And he's, you know, he is what he is, and people love him for it. There's no pretense of trying to do anything else. The challenge, to wrap this piece up, here's what I want your listeners to really hone in on. The okay. challenge you may have, and the challenge I had, and the challenge many people have, is because your wiring is masked over, you believe you're supposed to be going in a certain direction. You're struggling to go in that direction because you believe it's the right direction, because you can no longer hear what God's plan for you is. You can no longer see what's in your DNA. You can no longer view it. It's like there's concrete over top of it, and you don't know what gold could lie underneath if you just went all the way back to find out what you were really meant to be. And the challenge here is this, Technisha. Some people's masking is like masking tape. You know, if anybody still uses masking tape, and you know that if you write something in indelible ink, something in nice black ink, and then put masking tape over it, you know you can see through it, so you know there's something good underneath there. Some of the times people's wiring is masked over with concrete, and there's an inch or two or 10 inches thick of concrete over top of what you're supposed to be doing. And what you don't realize is that you need to get out that jackhammer, you need to get out the pitchfork, the shovel, you need to get everything and break that concrete up to find out what could be underneath there. And that gold that could be underneath there could be monetary gold, it could be emotional gold, it could be spiritual gold, but it's the gold that was meant for you. And until you realize that, you're living a less than fulfilled life.
Right, and sometimes, like you were saying, I think we're afraid to succeed because of fear, and that's why we give our power away, especially when you were talking about losing the weight or even being bullied in school. We just give that bully that power to keep on bullying us, because I know I was, and well, I don't think it ever really stopped, but I felt empowered when I stood up to my bully one day in middle school. But she told me to move, and I told her I wasn't. I called her a bad name. And I was scared that day, but I said, I'm not moving. And we went back and forth. You hit me, you hit me. And we got to the point where I went outside. I just went on and got my stepfather. I still felt good. I was like, well, at least I did stand up to you, even though I don't know how to fight, because my mother wasn't on that route with me. She said, no, I'm not going to teach you how to fight, because that was her thing in school. She fought. Didn't care, beat you up, done with it, but she was not going to teach me that status. She said, no, you go to school and get your education. I was like, I wish that you could have just taught me some blows so I could have hit her, but it still felt good, though, Chris, just to stand up to know, hey, I stood up to you. I didn't get punched, so to say, I lived.
Yeah, and that's great. And you know, you're so right, Technisha. It's having the courage when you're bullied, and I talk a lot in other forums about bullying. In fact, I was on a radio show the other week that was, you know, specifically focused on bullying. And you know, when you're bullied, you really do need to figure out a way to stand up. You know, that was part of my challenge growing up is my family didn't want me to fight, or they didn't want me to. In a lot of ways, they just kept telling me, oh, they're jealous of you. And as a kid, you don't really understand what some kid being jealous of you is. And I'm here to tell you, if you're a parent right now telling your kids that the kids that are bullying them are jealous of them, I'm going to give you a recommendation to please stop, because they're really probably not. They're just, the bullies are compensating for something, for a problem in their own life. And, you know, if the bullying is so bad that it's come to where, you know, it gets to an argument and it comes to a fight, you're not going to be able to do what I'm about to tell you. But at the beginning, if we can teach our children to try and understand the bully and understand what they're going through that's causing them to be the way they are, we would probably have a happier, and not probably, we would have a happier world. Now, will this work all the time? No. Sometimes some people are just mean. Some people are wired to be mean. I mean, there's, you know, you look at the serial killers out there. There's no question that some of the most well-known serial killers of all time were wired to do that. And so people would say, wait a minute, you just said God wires everybody for success. Why did he wire these people to be serial killers? And I'm not going to condone them, but what I'm going to say is, if you look at all the research and everything else that's come out of it, we've been able to understand much more about the human psyche. We've been able to understand and prevent more murders and more bad things from happening by understanding the bad people who are here. So I have a tough time. I would much rather God had never sent anybody down here that would be wired to be a killer. Unfortunately, it appears that is the case, but there has to be a greater reason for it. Let's get back to bullying here for a second and say, look, you know, the bully that's in front of you now, the bully that's in front of your child now might have been there for a reason. And if your child can understand that bully a little bit better, maybe that bully stops bullying other people because he finally has somebody that understands them. So, I mean, we could get off on a whole completely different topic, and I'm sure we probably ought to get back to how people are wired and the secret blueprint and all that. But so let me wrap this up by saying this. The goal at the beginning of you being bullied by anybody, in my opinion, through my experience and my research, instead of avoiding it from the beginning, attempt at least to understand the bully and see if that gets you anywhere. At least it'll be better than getting into a fight or living in fear of the bully. I mean, I wish I wouldn't have lived in fear of my bullies. I wish I would have understood them. You know, who knows? Who knows what would have happened in my life if I had?
Right. But what we're going to do, we're going to end up taking a short break, and we're going to come back with Chris, and we're going to get more into wiring. And if you feel like calling in, please do so at 347-426-3751. All right, well, we're back. Apparently, it seemed like it was something wrong during the commercial break, but that's all right. We're going to keep it moving. That's how we do. You got to just break a leg, keep it moving, and that's what we do on this show. So, as I was saying, we're going to talk about wiring with Chris. And, Chris, why is understanding how you are wired key?
Yeah, it's key for a couple of reasons, and I'm going to kind of mash two thoughts together here. First, it's key because it is what unlocks your future success and your future potential. In other words, you are wired to be a success in something. It might not be, it might not be monetary. It might be spiritual or emotional. And once you understand how you're wired, then you'll understand how you talk to people. You understand how people can relate to you. You understand how to attract people into your lives. You understand how to attract more business. You understand how you can talk to your children so they'll understand you. You'll understand a whole lot more. It reduces and eliminates frustration. And I will tell you this, if you don't understand how you're wired, you run the risk of losing everything. And you're talking and you're listening to somebody who has lost everything. And that's how I can stand here and tell you that it is that, you know, almost apocalyptic in nature, because, you know, not only for me, but I've known hundreds and thousands of people who haven't understood their wiring, who've tried to force going down a particular direction where they thought they were meant to be because they didn't start off figuring out their wiring first, and they lost money, they lost friends, they lost everything. And it's a sad thing to go through. I mean, I'm going to tell you right now, you know, I'm happy now. You can hear me smiling. I'm all happy. I love to do this. But there was a time when I had a cheer when I put one foot on the ground. I mean, I remember days that I didn't get off the couch for days, and that I finally said, look, I have to figure out some way of getting out of this. And I would put a foot on the ground and go, woo-hoo, I put a foot on the ground, and then I put it back on the couch and go back to sleep. And that's the point you could get to if you don't understand your wiring. You know, like I said, houses, you know, and granted, monetary isn't everything, but we need money to live and we need money to make memories. But, I mean, houses, apartments, I mean, I remember I used to, at one point, I mean, I would leave my residence every day and worried that I was going to come back to the locks being changed because I couldn't afford, you know, the apartment. I mean, being homeless, the whole nine yards. I mean, I try to make a little light of it, but it's that serious. It's why, you know, it's another reason I'm so passionate about helping people understand how they're wired, because I know we can lose. And believe me, I'll say one thing to wrap this question up. I was one who listened to people who would say, if you don't figure out where you're going to go, you're going to, you know, you could lose everything. I'm one of the people who said, never going to happen to me. You know, I grew up, you know, even though I was bullied and had some struggles, I grew up middle-class neighborhood. This ain't going to happen to me. I'm going to be good. That works real well until you're homeless. It works real well until you're searching couch cushions for 50 cents. I mean, it works real well until you look around and go, the only food in the house is cat food, and I'm not eating cat food. You know, it works real well until you hit that point where you're going, you know, I don't know how I'm going to eat tomorrow. Not a good feeling.
Worth wonders to you know that you're out there on the actual street. Wow, Chris. I mean, you're really hitting on the point, because there are people out there who think this way or even think that nothing can happen to you. And my mother used to always say that to me every single day. Don't think that nothing will happen to you. Always hope that it won't, because you never know. I listen to the news now when people say, oh, I thought that I was never going to get robbed. Really? What you thought you were living in? Paradise? What? I don't know where you thought you were living. I mean, they be thinking they live in Buckhead, Midtown. They're supposed to mean something. No, it means that you're in a nice neighborhood, but still, there are robbers everywhere. So, and
yeah, exactly. And it's interesting. It goes, you know, that's a very quick digression. I mean, I think I made this comment earlier, but I'm divorced now. My wife, during this whole thing, it finally got to the point where she said, you know, it's taking you so long. Either go out and get a real job, or I'm gone. And I looked at her and I said, you know, I this is what I'm meant to do. Had I figured out that I was meant to do this,
right,
and this is how I was wired, she wouldn't have, you know, I would have been a much bigger success a lot quicker, and that wouldn't have happened. But while we were married, I used to say, look, you know, even though we live in a nice neighborhood, make sure you know, if you leave your car outside, make sure you lock the doors. And she always looked at me and go, why? And I'm going, you know what? Because it could happen eventually. And, you know, part of it, I admit, Technisha, part of it, I looked at her and I said, look, I can handle most things, but when there's common sense things that could have prevented something, I get a little irritated. And the funny part, Technisha, was I said, live in a nice neighborhood, but it was about 6 months after I just, you know, this was years ago, and it's about 6 months after I made that comment to her, our neighbor came to us and said, hey, was your car broken into last night? And I said, no, why? He goes, well, mine was, and I didn't see any glass, so I knew he had left it open, and his car he left outside had gotten stuff stolen from. I came in and told my wife, I said, you know, I'm quite sure that somebody probably came along, checked your doors, realized they were locked, and went on to the next car. And that's the thing of it, you know, it's the can't happen to you syndrome, whether it's locked car doors, whether it's losing a job, whether it's losing a wife. I mean, I'm going to give you another example, Technisha. My wife, you know, bless her, she's in a different place now. She's moved on. Our divorce has been final for a while, and everything is, you know, all you nice, powerful women out there, give me a call. We need to talk because I figured out you're the people I need to be with. So you know, I joked around on another show. I said, I'm looking for a Marissa Mayer, and the host has kept, well, let me give her a call. We can get her on. I went, do you know who she is? He goes, no. And I said, she's the CEO of Yahoo, and she's married. So the point was I was giving an example. But back to the story. But the whole point was my wife once looked at me before we got married and said, I don't believe in divorce. And she was the one who asked for a divorce. So you can tell how bad things had gotten. So and the other reason I bring that up is because I believed I had all the time in the world to make myself, the business, and everything else a success. Because I believed that divorce wasn't going to happen to me. And I do not begrudge my wife one bit. She did what was right for her. In fact, the funny part is Technisha, she made the promise, leaving you within 30 days. And I'll never forget, I was on the stage in Maryland. She was here moving half of her stuff out. So we both stuck to our promise. I knew what I was supposed to be doing to be a success. And mind you, it took me a long time to figure out my wiring to get to a point where I could even start doing that. So that's the other thing I want your listeners to understand. So two things before we get on to your next question. If you're listening and you're a little confused right now, here are the two things I want you to understand. One, anything can happen to you even if people have told you it won't. I'm not saying don't trust people, but what I'm saying is trust, verify, forget. You know, in other words, one of the big philosophies I work with, in other words, you know, trust me, I'm going to do what you ask. Verify, I've done it for a while, and then forget about it. Let me take care of it. But the whole point is this. Anything could happen to you. Don't live in fear, but live in the realization that you need to do what you need to do. Because even if somebody said, hey, I'll be with you forever, if you're heading towards homelessness, that person might not always stick with you. You know, what else was I going to say? I'm sorry, I just lost my complete train of thought. This happens to public speakers sometimes. The whole point is this. Anything could happen to you, but don't live in fear. Just remember that, you know, you need to figure out, and once you figure out how you're wired, you can be a success, and that will keep the people in your lives, because success does overcome a whole great deal.
It does, and I'm sorry that I had to come to that point for you. And, you know, to me it's funny because just thinking about that, I was looking at pictures, and one of the pictures was of a married couple, and it said, if you want it easy, it just basically, if you want something easy, it won't last. But anything that lasts, it will be hard work. And I just, in my heart, I wish you wouldn't stay with you. Because that's what marriage is all about. I understand her reasons, but at the same time, marriage is about struggle. It's about the ups and the downs. My husband got sick, and what was I going to do? Just leave him at that point when I just, everything hit the fan, so this is it, bye. Check up. No. If we do that every time, what are we saying to others? They give up hope on marriage, that it just don't work like that. But I understand that. I just want to take my opinion on that too. Like, but I do hope, ladies, if there's anybody out there, Chris is a nice man, and please don't mind. He will give you He'll give his information at the end of the show. So just letting you know. But Chris, let's tell us about the inspiration behind your book. I love the title, and I love the way that you kept it blank. Fill in your blank.
Yeah, and it's interesting, Technisha, because the book really starts my journey. And I'll say The book starts the crystallization of all my research and my journey towards finding out how I'm wired, because the book, the funny part is I almost wish I would have waited one more day to release it so I could now say 2013, but it was actually published on December 31st of 2012. My goal was to publish a book by the end of 2012, so I did it. And the funny part is, Technisha, And this is kind of goes back to my wife. The irony of the whole thing was on December 30th, I showed her the final proof copy, which dedicates the book to her. December 31st, it goes out. January 2nd, she's telling me she wants a divorce. And I went, and so I don't normally say this on the radio, but I kind of looked and I said, I kind of looked and thought to myself, couldn't you have told me this 3 days earlier that I was I wouldn't have dedicated the book to you? But here's the thing. What I started to realize back in 2012 as things had been challenging was that leadership and everything else that wasn't the only thing, and that there were things that were stopping me and other of the clients I worked with from becoming from having more. And that really, I didn't really want to put it in terms of success, but it was in having more in every area of their life. You know, in other words, it's one of the chapters is chasing the money and not your passion. Because we're such a money-driven world nowadays, people end up going, okay, if I'm broke, instead of saying, look, it's going to take me, you know, a year to live into my passion, my wiring, as I now refer to, it's going to take me a year to find my wiring and another year to fully live into it, I'm going to go chase everything. While I'm doing that, I'm going to chase every multi-level marketing opportunity. I'm going to chase every opportunity I can while I'm living into the marketing, even though I'm dead, or my wiring, even though I'm dead broke now, I have no job, and I have, you know, I have all the time in the world. And what I try to show people is this, is while you're chasing the money, you're actually diverting from your wiring. You're not living to your wiring, and you're making it take even longer to get to your wiring. Now, let me say this. If you have a family and children and responsibilities, and you can find a job that fulfills your financial responsibilities and makes it so, you got to do it. You know, you've got to do it, even if it's not your passion, even if it's not to your wiring. So the people I'm specifically talking to are the people who already, you know, kind of have gone off the deep end, lost, you know, everything, and not much of a regular job is going to bring them back into back into solvency, so to speak. For you folks, you've got to go out and just get to your wiring as quick as possible and stop with all the side projects that aren't benefiting you in any way, shape, or form. So that's one of the things I talk about. Another thing real quick is letting all the, you know, it's the getting distracted by the little things is what is part of the book. And that is you sit there and answer every email right away. You sit there and answer. You sit there and you fall into the trap of technology that we've created for ourselves today. And if you aren't where you need to be and you're doing that, then you need to stop doing that. You need to figure out how to not be such a slave to tweeting and Facebooking and doing everything right away and set aside time to do that, but focus on what's most important and not let things distract you from that.
Right, and I think that's why so many people, we fail because we're out there just trying to get the money when you should be doing something that you really love. And because that's where passion comes from. We engage in so many projects that are so complete outside of our best use, and we forget to focus exclusively on what will provide us the best value for us. Is being happy. Passion is being happy. That's what I think. When I think of passion, it's being happy. And, of course, we all heard that cliche before. You do what you love, and the money will follow. And I'll go with that cliche. And that's why I do this radio show, because this is something I love to do. It's not about the money, right? Because I'm not making anything off of it. But I love to do it. I love to talk, and I love to get my word out there.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Exactly. And the, you know, I'll make one minor tweak to, you know, you do what you love and the money will follow. If you do what you love and it's within your wiring, if you do what you love and it's within your wiring, your success will follow. And here's what I mean by that. You know, I could be out there doing stuff I love to do, but if it wasn't what I was wired to do, I, you know, the success is not going to follow. Like as an example, when I first started my, when I first started branching out in public speaking and everything, I was doing what I love, which is public speaking, but I was speaking solely on leadership, and nothing was following. Now I'm doing what I love, which is public speaking, to my wiring, which is telling, you know, teaching people to understand how they're wired, and now the success is following. So, so that ends up becoming the key in the whole thing.
Right. I do. Yeah, I agree with that too, Chris. So, Chris, how do you go about finding your target audience for this and developing the chapter content?
Yeah, it's interesting because I have to sit back and laugh because and this I'll make this short because I see we only got about 10 minutes left. So as far as the target audience, that was the biggest thing I struggled with at the beginning. In fact, that book would have come out a lot sooner if I'd have if I'd have just forgotten my target audience and just wrote the book, because in the end that's what I had to do, because I spent many years pushing against finding a target audience. And the reason I bring this up is because I run a thing called the Professional Practice Builders Society, where my co-founder and I, Dr. Mark Kosman, teach people how they're wired, how their ideal clients are wired, and we end up helping them create attraction-based content marketing campaigns to attract their ideal client. And through all of that, what we have uncovered is a way for people like me and a lot of people like me to uncover their ideal client. And I wish I would have had that, you know, years ago, so I wouldn't have struggled so much. But that's the key. So one point is I've now got a system that I've co-developed that is guaranteed to uncover your ideal client. For the book itself, I didn't have that system. I finally had to stop worrying about my ideal client and just worry about my message. So to all you authors out there who are struggling to write a book, if you're struggling because you don't know who to market it to, forget about your ideal client and just write. Sit down and find something to open up your creativity and write your book, and just write it as you, and realize that your first book might or might not be a bestseller. If it's not, that's okay. If it is, great. In the end, just write, because what will happen is you will write it and you will begin to attract people who are attracted to you, and you will begin to figure out who your ideal client is, you know. And it might seem backwards, but if you're struggling finding your ideal client and you're an author, that's one way you can go about doing it.
Okay. Now, those are some great little tips. Now, Chris, I know, like you said, we're short on time, but I would like to know, what word would you use to fill in that blank in your title of the book?
Wow. What the secret blueprint for me, the secret blueprint to more, the first word that comes to my mind is either, you know, happiness or fulfillment. And one of the things that most people get really early on about working with me is, hey, I love money just as much as the next person. If you got $1 million, I'll be more than happy to take your check and come speak wherever in the world you want me to speak. You're in Dubai, hey, I'll speak on anything you want. Pay me $1 million. I'm all good with that. But for me, it's not always about the money. And it's interesting because I was sitting with a client the other day, and we were working on an ideal client, and we're kind of working on a co-ideal client together just see how well it would work. And he wrote all his things down. I wrote all my things down. All of his were business related. All of mine were heart related, and were kind of more ethereal related. So for me, I need to get paid. I love to get paid. Don't get me wrong. Don't mistake, as somebody said, don't mistake my weakness or don't mistake my kindness for weakness. So for me, don't mistake my lack of talking about money for not wanting it. I love it. It's great. We need it to live. The however piece of that, what charges me up, do I cry over $1 million check? Sure. Do I cry when I get the big check? Sure. But I cry a lot more when I change people's lives. And that's, so for me, I put this blueprint into action for me to get more fulfillment and happiness in my life. And it's what led me to, you know, coming up with how people are wired. It's what led me down the path of really coming to terms with understanding my own DNA and my own wiring, and it's what led me to being on your show today.
Well, thank you so much. Now, how do you go about, Jeff Chris, define purpose and passion in your life?
Yeah, I mean, you know, first I started off by figuring out my wiring and going back and realizing that, you know, I'm wired to be happy. I'm wired to be on the stage. I'm wired to be, you know, inspiring and transforming and empowering people's lives. The beautiful part about that technique is the fact that, you know, I've found my purpose through doing that, and I've also found my, or not, I shouldn't even say found my passion. I've rediscovered my purpose and rediscovered my passion, because I've always been passionate about this. But I can tell you that even through all the struggles I've been through, I am happiest when I'm on the stage. In fact, let me give you a quick example. You know how a lot of people say, what would you like to be doing when you die? In other words, if you had one thing you could be doing when you pass away, like, what would you do? Some people say, well, you know what, if I die, I'd love to be skydiving. You know, it's like, yeah, let me jump out of a plane and just kill me halfway down. I'm fine. I died doing what I loved. Here it is for me, Technisha. If I know I have an hour to live, or a day or a week, what I'm going to do is I'm going to say, look, find me an auditorium, put a chair in the center of the stage, get everybody who loves me in front of me, and let me talk until I drop over dead on that stage. There's only one other way I can think of dying, but that's a topic for a very, very different conversation. It's a typical guy thing. But in the PG interest of the show, the best way I can think about dying is being on the center of a stage, talking and sharing and anything I can, empowering people's lives, just until literally I just boop, fall over in my chair. And, you know, when you can say that and you're doing that during your life, you know you've hit on something.
I know, and that is something to really think about, because you're making me think right now, like, what would I want to do if I had an hour to just live? I don't know, maybe give me the opportunity to just do my own news story or something without any coaching. I'm not sure. I would definitely love to see my girls get married. So that is a popular question to think about. But Chris, what new book are you working on now?
Yeah, I've got three in the pipeline. And it's funny because the first one took me 30 days to write, and I got it out, got it done quick. These I'm spending much more time on, because one of them is going to be, it's funny because the way they look now, and as authors, you know that things can change. The way they look now is one's going to be kind of a fiction, not kind of, one's going to be more of a fiction book. And it's going to be, you know, a fictional story about let's just leave it. It's going to be a fictional story into the look of a very interesting mind. The second one is going to be a story kind of about my journey. Of it's going to be more of a it's going to be a fact based book, but it's going to be more of a journey of the things I've been through. And the one thing I can say that, you know, if for some reason my wife has stumbled across this, or my ex-wife has stumbled across this and tuned in, or if you know my ex-wife, it's not a bashing book. It's just going to be, look, here's the journey I went through. Use from it what you will to help in your own journey. And the third one's going to be on how people are wired, and it's going to be more of a coalescing of, here you go, here's some deeper thoughts into how you're wired, and here's some deeper ways into understanding how you're wired. So those are the three I've got in the pipeline right now.
Okay, wonderful. I can't wait till they come out. But what else would you like to add on for the listeners?
Yeah, I would like to finish. It's funny because I stuttered through this, and I shouldn't apologize, but it just kind of me. I would like to leave your listeners with this. Money and everything that happens in this world has most likely masked over your wiring. And it's most likely prevented you from living the life that you truly deserve to live and from being the success that you deserve and that you were born to be. I would recommend that you find how you're wired, because you might be wired to be a servant. Then again, you might be wired to be a millionaire. And if you're wired to be a servant and you're trying to be a millionaire, you're not going to be either, and you're going to deprive the world of your greatness. By the same token, if you're wired to be a millionaire and you're trying to be a servant, you're not going to do either, and you're going to deprive the world of your greatness. Just listen to these six people and realize how different the world would be if they wouldn't have lived to their wiring. Mother Teresa, Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King. Servants, if they would have tried to be rich, we would have been deprived of the world-changing things that they have done. Then you've got Richard Branson, the owner of Virgin Airlines and about a million other companies, Bill Gates, and Steve Jobs. If they thought they were wired to just be to merely be servants at the beginning of their life, and they didn't realize they're wired to be rich and they're wired to do what they did, we would be deprived of some of the greatest companies of all time. So understand how you're wired. Find what's in your DNA, and don't deprive the world of the greatness that's inside of you.
For being on the show today and sharing your passion for what you actually love to do.
Oh, you're welcome, Technisha. And I'm sure you've got it on the website, but anybody, if you want to reach out to me, chrismsprague.com, C-H-R-I-S, M as in Michael, S-P-R-A-G-U-E.com. All my contact information is out there. If I could do anything for any of your listeners, please reach out. And I implore you, if you've resonated with me, let's talk. Let's see if we're a good fit. Let me help you find your wiring. If you've resonated with the message and not me, that's fine. I wish you all the best. Find somebody who can help you understand your wiring, and don't deprive the world of the greatness that's inside of you.
That's right. It's time you find out. Time for you to find out your wiring. It's time to live your passion. And thank you so much, Chris, and you have a blessed one. Oh, and happy Mother's Day to all the ladies in your family.
Exactly, and thank you, you too, Technisha. Happy Mother's Day to you, to all the listeners, and it was a joy and an honor. Anytime you want me back on, let me know. I'll be happy to be back.
Thank you. Well, listeners, you heard it from Chris. Find your wiring, and please find your passion in life, because we all got a purpose down here. But I'll see you tomorrow, and your purpose is to tune in and listen at 12 o'clock. So you have a blessed Sunday. Thank you.